We're gonna be working just on three verses tonight, 27 through 29. But let's get a running start here. Let's start in 16, and John 14 verse 16. We'll go all the way through 29. You guys know in my group, sorry, Mr. Schaefer. It's one of those things you have one job to do. Oh. you have shown me the way. So one of the things, guys, just to first read through, I want you guys to pay attention, is particularly as we get verses 27 and 29, and before I start going through and teaching, I want your guys' input on what jumps out at you. Okay, so think your way through this and what sort of things you notice first time through. So we're going to start in verse 16, go all through 29, but we're really keen in on verses 27 through 29. Levi, you want to start there?
I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may be with you forever.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you.
That's all right. Verse 18.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
After a little while, the world will no longer see me. You will see me. In that day, you will know that I am my Father. I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in
you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him.
Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?
Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you.
But the Helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
Okay, this is the part we're really going to key in on here, verses 27 through 29. So 27 through 29, I'll give you guys a second to look those over, and then tell me anything that jumps out at you there.
Now I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe.
It's a pretty big deal, isn't it? We're going to touch on that. That's a, realistically, guys, this whole book is about faith. Building our faith. I mean, John actually said he wrote this book so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But where does very foundational to our faith is the fact that things have been recorded ahead of time. So that when it comes to pass, we believe. Very, very good point, Frank.
Something that's not really in the forefront, but talks about his peace.
His peace he was given to them, and that's different than the peace that the world offers, for sure. We're going to touch on that a little bit. Yeah, we live in a world that, I guess, in many forms is in pursuit of peace, but there's really no hope for peace. And Christ is the only one who can offer us true peace. So that's a good one. Definitely hit on that. Anything else? Levi.
Second half of verse 28. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. You know, he's saying that if you know him, or if you love him, then you know him.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting thing, because these guys are sad, and Jesus is telling them, don't let your hearts be troubled. And he's comforting them and telling them, he's sending them the comforter, the helper who's going to be with them. And all. But then he's kind of almost challenging them or asking them, hey, think about this from my perspective. If you love me, you would have rejoiced that I go to the Father. Like if we love somebody, we're actually happy for when good things happen for them, right? So, you know, to kind of challenge them, I mean, here Jesus has been always thinking them first, them first, them first, which is great. That's who he is. But then he's also trying to teach them to think about others first. So if you really love Jesus, you'd be happy that he's getting, you'd be rejoicing. He's getting to go home to be with the Father. So that's a very good point. Anything else? That's a pretty good thought to get us started, guys. So we'll pick it up here from verse 27. You know, I guess that idea of peace, and I think let's just narrow it down for tonight's purposes. Let's narrow it down to peace within. You know, what does the world have to offer for inner peace?
Lies.
Lies. Okay, that's true. They don't. There's no real answers. What are some of the things they offer? Yeah. Yeah, that's a really big one, isn't it? Like retire, you know, get your retirement, get your 401k, like you have enough, you know, in the bank or enough invested, it's going to be able to take you till you die. Like usually a physical sense of security for sure to help people be at peace. That it's interesting though, the wealthiest people in the world, by their own words, they'll tell you they just one more dollar is, you know, basically the end. Everything the world offers is just you're going to be chasing it and chasing it and chasing it. But that's a big one.
I know where Will's working. He's working for some very, very wealthy people up there building a house. Many people have so much. It's an example of worldly peace. You may have the set up for catastrophe up there. You have all this money, you think it's peaceful, but yet they have everything. They were afraid of everything, isolated. I mean, it's crazy. It's not peace.
That's actually a good point, isn't it? So you have enough to be set up, but you can tell by what they're doing with it that there's not peace, because they're worried about what if, about what could come. I think, you know, we could probably go down the line, prescription drugs, non-prescription drugs, alcohol, you know, relationships, all those things that people try to find here. If I just find this right person, that'll make me, then I'll be at peace. If I just, you know, find the right substance we'll just put it even in medical terms, to balance the chemicals in my brain, then I'll be at peace.
Live in a bubble.
What'd you say?
Live in a bubble.
Live in the bubble, yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is what the world offers, guys, and it's always empty. I think the prophets of old said it, the New Testament speaks of it, people crying out peace and safety, and destruction comes upon them. You know, I don't really want to go there tonight, so I'll just throw it out there. Nobody's allowed to comment on it. But government itself, okay, the source of peace and safety. And, you know, destruction is going to come. So, you know, Christ offers something different than that. You know, it is interesting, the whole Eastern philosophy, Eastern religion, it's actually got a pretty good foothold right now in the United States. And there's a lot of, like, you just think about all the places that do yoga. And not that they're all, I mean, it's the door in is exercise. Okay? But what goes with that, the philosophy behind that to offer peace. And if you know anything about Hinduism and Buddhism, and there's no real peace in that, what they have to offer. Matter of fact, their greatest gurus are people that they end up abandoning their family. They end up, like, everything that you that the scripture would say in terms of what love is and being responsible, like they're trying to lose themselves in all the wrong ways in order to try to find themselves, and you don't ever find yourself. So, like, none of these things work. Yeah, Levi.
Is that selfism?
They would say it's the opposite of that.
Right, it's kind of ironic.
But it's what it ends up, isn't it?
Someone said all false teachers are selfism.
I think that's true, because sin is wrapped up in self, and all false teachers are trying to justify some sort of sin. So, you know, the peace that Christ offers, though, is a different peace. And it starts with peace with God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. So my personal experience and my experience in working with other people, I find that peace typically is an issue in terms of whether my interactions with other people. Like, that's where we first notice it. Like, there's conflict in relationships of some sort. You know, family relationships, coworkers, whatever. There's conflict there, and so it starts working on people. You get tired of the conflict. And so people want to, if they're interested in trying to fix, they want to try to fix those things. But there's a problem. You're starting from the wrong end. So the reality of it is, you can't be at peace with somebody else, really, unless you're at peace inside your own head. Because you can think of, just think about yourself for a second, the dumb things you've done when you're... It's an overflow of if you're messed up in here. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be right in your own head. But we got to go back a step further. You can't be right in your own head until you're right with God. God wired us. He made us. He made us pure and in a relationship with Him. Sin comes into our lives and that relationship's broken, and the guilt starts pounding away, okay? Chipping away. Lots of different manners in which it comes up, but like, stuff isn't going to be okay in there. And so Christ, what He offers, I think Romans 5, 1 and 2 says this pretty well. I don't remember where we left off. Please. So, just having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Or I think Rotherham says we have peace toward God. So that relationship with us and God is right. Jesus is a perfect example of this. The first part of, well, if we actually, I guess, the thinking, flipping back to chapter 13, Jesus is a perfect example of this. Because He was at peace with the Father, all these circumstances are going around Him. Being betrayed, know He's going to be abandoned, all that stuff. Jesus is still able to treat everybody else right because He's right with God. The circumstances aren't dictating His emotions because He's right with God. So Christ offers that. That's what He's saying. My peace I give to you. I'm leaving with you. Yes.
Also, what you say is emotions aren't. That is His life determined?
Yeah, I think that there's something deeper. You know, I think we always encourage people to, you know, the way the scripture says, come, let's reason together.
Would you say emotions are bad?
I would not say emotions are bad at all.
Well, I mean,
because emotions, Jesus Himself was, Jesus Himself had emotions. God made us in His image. Those emotions come as a part of being made in His image. Where emotions are a problem, Levi, is when they're predominant in our lives and when we're held at their whim. But if you think about this, here's the way my analogy. Emotions is like when a warning light comes on in the dashboard of your vehicle.
Yes.
Okay. So it comes on there's some sort of code that comes up or check engine light, something is wrong. Okay, or sometimes the motion, something can be right. But something's going on. But you don't know what that is unless you plug it into the code reader. So people that are just all over the map because of their emotions without something to go and plug into, that's where there's a problem. But emotions themselves aren't bad. They just need to be subject to, you know. So we encourage people, come, let us reason together. But I think there's even something further than that for us as Christians, and that's, you know, the Spirit controls our mind, ultimately.
Any suffering, really, kind of the same.
Yep. So, the peace, you know, the peace that Jesus is bringing is that right relationship with God. And he says, that's why he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Because there's no substitute for that. So, this is only through Christ. No false religion can bring that. And none of the world's self-help books can bring that. None of the medication, etc., etc. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. I like the fact, I think, Leah, you kind of mentioned this. Jesus doesn't just say, peace I give to you and peace I leave with you. He says, my peace. My peace I leave with you. So, Jesus himself, if we say he practiced what he preached, I think with Jesus it's fair to say Jesus preached what he practiced. Like everything that he said was an overflow of who he was and of his relationship with the Father. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Callista, that one. Would you read that for me, please? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, please, yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight.
Okay. So really, you know, the reason Jesus was able to do all those things is because He did have complete trust in God. And so for us, the peace that Jesus has left the apostles and He's left to us is that right relationship with God. Guys, in all honesty, if you think about it, Is God gonna take care of you? Somebody, I don't know, Mr. Simpson, if you got a chance to check it out, somebody sent me a video today that was a little unnerving. There's just scary stuff going on in our country. Like, if you have your hopes fixed in this life, it's scary, honestly. It's really scary. But at a personal level, can you trust in the Lord with all your heart? That's the only way, really, to have peace. It's the only way you're going to be victorious anyways. I mean, the Bible's full of examples of people tried to get ahead of God. Never works out. Okay. So we trust in Him. We have with all of our heart and don't lean on our own understanding. That's the peace that Jesus gives to us. His peace and the peace that He gave us through His example. So, you know, to me, at the very end of Jesus' life, when He says, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. Everything in Jesus' life up to that point in time, He was dependent upon the Father. He comes, it's His time to die. Even having taken over on all the sins of the world, and He says, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. So, just real quickly, I think sometimes you, what did they say, the mathematician, I think it was Pascal, said, I've learned to define my life backwards and live it forwards. So I think about, like, in math, geometry proofs or something, you got to know where you're going to be able to figure out how you're getting there. Oh. The old school mazes, you know, when you're a kid, if you did the Pizza Hut mazes, most of the time it was easier to go them from the back, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Jared, what were you going to say?
When I think of the peace that Jesus gives us, it's peace to stay the course, to know that what you're doing is the right thing to do as long as you're doing the right thing, of course. But it's to know that even though the world may not think that this is the right way to go or the right thing to do or the most profitable thing or whatever, I think the peace of Christ allows us to keep that course.
Amen. All the way through. Amen. I know this phrase has gotten big in the world, but recently, but it's certainly true in what we're talking about. Trust the process. When you know God is in control, you can trust that process and you can have confidence. So I want you guys to just think about the end for a second. To me, sometimes a flash to the end and then come back and put it into place in my life today. So just, a couple things. Recently, one of my trips to Bozeman, roads were bad. And in this stretch, and this, all of a sudden, this semi like was behind another semi, and I was passing this semi, and he just puts his blinker on and starts pulling right into me, like I'm there. I got nowhere to go. There's a guardrail. They slam on the brakes, this guy's running me off the like. So somehow I managed to hit the brakes, stay on the road, steer, slow down, and honk my horn all at the same time. I don't know how I got the horn involved, but I did it all. But man, afterwards, I was that adrenaline, right? Fight or flight mechanism. Guys, what that death is something that's fearful. Now I think about it from a quieter example in my life, when I had cancer, and you look at that and you think about the possibility of dying. Either way, if it's the extreme in the moment, or it's the slower you get to really think this through, either way, the only way you can have peace to stay the course is if you know that your eternity is secure. Your eternity is right. Your position and standing with God is right. That allows, guys, us in the moment to have peace no matter the circumstances.
I bet you were really grateful to be a Christian when you got
here. I was really grateful to be a Christian. And to think, and even in that period of time, to think back through. And I've, it's not the only time in my life, but, is this true? To check back through. Yep, check, 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 check. This is legit. Some of the stuff Frank was talking about we'll get to. So, anyways, that special peace, the peace of Jesus. And it's different from the world's peace. I'm not trying to... We do have to be careful, I think, when we're working with people. But, the Lord doesn't offer Prozac. I think we do have to be careful because people do get chemical imbalances. But I think if you think about what is the real issue there? The real issue is, I think a lot of it comes from guilt. It can come from anxiety. Those problems come from those things. So the fix that Jesus offers is a spiritual fix. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And, one of the things we're working on around here, being doers of the word and not just hearers. So, ask yourself, when we're reading this, do I do this? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Kendra, would you read those, please? Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Okay, we all got anxiety. I mean, there's stuff that comes up. Okay? Anxious thoughts that can come up along the way. Most of us aren't in a position where we have all that money to have the... Thinking a little bit when you were telling that story, the contrast between who Will is building the house for and your guys' project, right? A little different there in terms of security. But if we all have different anxious thoughts that come up, do we take those to the Lord? Do we really take those to the Lord? And if we don't take those to the Lord, if we don't take His prescription, then we can't expect to have the peace that Jesus promised either.
Talk about reading the Bible and praying.
And specifically this aspect of praying, taking all of our anxiety to Him. So, you know, this sickness has been going around. We've been, my family's been fighting it bad. And I'd been being really, like, one of the few times in my life I've been being really consistent on taking vitamins. I was doing good. Somewhere I quit taking vitamins. I hadn't been sick. Well, now it's caught up to me, and I'm, well, you know, there's a part of it that says, like, who do you got to blame but yourself? So, if we're not going to the Lord and taking, you know, this is His prescription, right? This is part of the peace that He gives to us. You can cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Do you trust that God cares about you? If you do, you're going to take those things to the Lord. And if you're not taking them to the Lord, then don't be surprised if you still got chaos in your mind. Jared.
I'll speak for myself. With casting your anxiety upon Him, that part of that, obviously you do that in prayer, but I think sometimes I know for myself, the things that I'm anxious about are things that I know I need to be humble about, and I haven't reached that point yet.
Yeah.
And so, you kind of look at it, to give you a relatively generic example, boy, I really hope that these questions are on the test because I didn't study. You know, that's what God ultimately wants from us. First is to humble ourselves completely so that when we do bring our anxieties before Him, those things can be examined 100% honestly from our perspective so that we can really consider, well, are they things worth worrying about?
You know what I mean? Really good point. Yeah, those things go together. I mean, he starts with the verses we read, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. So you do. Yeah, before you're really going to be able to take those to the Lord in honesty, it requires a lot of humility in the first place. So let's hit one other one, guys. Philippians chapter 4. That, you know, one of the things that what Jesus said here, he said, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's the way John chapter 14 started. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus reiterates that again. Because our hearts can be troubled. I think I mentioned it on Sunday morning. The Apostle Paul, conflicts without, fears within. I mean, this is real stuff for every person that walks this earth. You think Jesus didn't experience that? Just remember what transpires in the garden there. Like, if there's any other way. I mean, when he's praying to the point that his sweat is like drops of blood, this is an intense situation emotionally. A couple things I noticed in John that I was just reading recently, and I noticed again, Jesus sighed deeply. Like, Jesus understands. There's real stuff that he went through too. Okay. So when he talks to us, you know, he knows what he's talking about, and this is his prescription. He did it first. Okay. So Philippians chapter 4, what I'm driving at is that it's kind of back, Levi, to what you had said earlier, like our emotions are under our control. You know, let not your heart be troubled. The heart is subject to the person. Like, it's under the control of the person. But when we're thinking this through, what do you might say your heartbeat might pick up a little bit, right? There's some of those spots where, okay, so you gotta come, yes, maybe even skip a beat, and you gotta come back and bring this to the Lord. So Philippians chapter 4, I like the way he ties these two things together, verses 6 and 7. Levi, would you read those? Philippians 4, 6 and 7.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
I like this again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. You know, some of the things in my prayers, I love to talk to God about His Word and to let His Word sink in and work on me. But sometimes I forget to bring out my supplications. Sometimes I forget to get, you know, some of those some of those personal, real things, or, you know, praying for each other. Like, that's not always the first stuff on my list, but this is part of, this is, we're actually commanded scripturally, like, to bring those things before the Lord, and then the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension, so that you can't explain this to somebody else. Matter of fact, if you try to, people might say that you got a mental disorder, right? But we understand. Okay? It's something that the Lord has offered to us. And so, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I don't really have time to hit this, but if you think about the end of Romans 8, I just love that, the whole context, the end of Romans chapter 8. Everything that Christ has done for us, going to the cross, everything, while we were enemies, what's he going to withhold from us now? Like, we're his friends. Like, all of the resources of heaven. And then you get to the end of Romans chapter 8, and he says, what can separate us? And he lists all these things, including angelic powers. None of those things can separate us from the love of God. So we can have this peace. Yes, Levi.
This is not my opinion, but I considered agreeing with it. Do you think that Christ withheld his joy from us when he was on earth because we couldn't comprehend it?
Like, he doesn't ever show us Jesus laughing?
Well, kind of, no. Well, I think that's what the person was talking about, but I was thinking his glory.
We
saw his glory.
We certainly could not see all of... the hymn says it pretty well, you know, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. You know, God did have to veil that in the flesh because, yeah, it would, you know, in this form, we wouldn't be able to comprehend it all. But he does give it to us in the Spirit. And when we're, and I think that's what you're saying here, we're being transformed into that, and that peace that surpasses all comprehension is something that we can have.
Okay, it's available to us. Isn't that true?
Well, the scripture talks about God laughing, so I'm just going to leave that one there for tonight. Okay? Leah. Through those circumstances, then that's a good point. Yeah, these guys, I mean, they'd been in the boat, you know, when the waves are coming and save us, Lord, we're perishing. And, you know, you have little faith and he's able to calm the storm. And then, but like you say, all the way and then through to their own death. And so we get to see that played out in their lives for us. So, excellent point. All right, let's shift here back to John 14. We got to hit the last part of this here. Lost my spot. So let's hit these next two points from verse 28 and 29. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. So just kind of setting the stage here real quick. I don't think we need to spend too much time on this tonight, but guys, heaven's a lot better place than earth. And we got to remember that. Okay? We can get caught up. I know I can get caught up wanting to have maybe the joy and the peace and, I mean, those things in a physical sense in this realm. Because this world's not our home. This place is temporal. It kind of gets back to what Jared was saying. Like, we trust along the way. you know, we can stay the course, because heaven is a real place, okay, and it blows this place away. And so any sort of suffering that we do encounter, guys, Scripture tells us it's not even worthy to be compared. It's not. So when you get there, the glory that's revealed to us, all, you know, this is the Apostle Paul, who I don't, like, I can't talk about suffering compared to that guy's list of stuff, right? And he says, this is this guy saying it, he says, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Like, it doesn't even, it's, you got something on the scale, and then you go and put something on the other side that's like, and it just, whoop, like, makes all that other stuff completely, is diminished. So we need to remember that. You know, we choose, because we're all of us, we've made a choice to choose heaven over earth. And the reality of it is, right now in the moment, I think it's kind of what Jared was saying too, like, the world's going to think we're foolish. The world thinks we're wasting our time, or all the stuff we're missing out on. I mean, man, none of your girls went to prom? You know, none of you guys weren't in the class AA state tournament, you know, whatever it is, like all these things that we miss out on from the world's perspective, right? But we've made a choice. We've chosen heaven over earth. We believe that. We believe what the scriptures said. And so, you know, Jesus, he is excited to actually be coming to the end of his life on this earth, because he knows where he's going. You guys know one of my pet peeves, that song that starts off, I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. I understand the rest of the song is fine, so I've changed it to I'd like to preach here longer, but I still, like, it flies contrary to everything the scripture tells me. Isn't the one great hope of the Christian the resurrection from the dead? Like, isn't this something we're supposed to be looking forward to? I remember when my mom was diagnosed with her pancreatic cancer, and, you know, was told she had like a month to live. You know, somebody had asked her, you know, about if she had a bucket list. And my mom just said, like, why would I have a bucket list here for where I'm going? Like, what's the, like, the best things you could get in this? Like, what? It's nothing compared to where we're going. And so Jesus' mentality, guys, here at the end of his life, like, he's excited. He's going back to be with the Father in glory. This is where he wants to get. This is the hope. This is the finish line he's going to. And for Christians, shouldn't that be all of our perspective about death? I do miss the brethren that have gone on before us. I really do. This congregation is, like, it's a substantially different congregation. It really is. But man, I'm happy for everyone. Like, all those guys, and even Hop sometimes, I just think, man, he's missing out on all this stuff that's coming, that he told us all was coming. He doesn't even have to mess with it. Yes, Levi.
Would you say that if you're not looking forward to death, you might be in trouble?
Yeah. That's a fair assessment. You're probably going to have a hard time really living if you're scared to die, too. So, but Jesus was looking forward to that. And then, you know, and he promises, you know, I will come to you, and we know he's going to come as the helper on the day of Pentecost. And then I like the challenge. Was that you, Levi, or Frank? I think, Frank, you talked about the prophecy, right?
Yeah.
And then who was it that had said, if you loved me, you would have rejoiced?
Yeah.
Is that you? Yeah. I like that. Did Jesus bring that? Like, guys, you should be happy for me. As Christians, isn't one of the things we do, we rejoice with those who rejoice? Like, if these guys were thinking of things, of this from Jesus' perspective, they'd be thrilled for him. And I think one of the things, I get to preach this Sunday on love's not jealous, so, you know, it's probably on my mind, but one of the things, to actually think about what's best for somebody else, and to be legitimately happy about that for them. That's love. So, you know, if you love Christ, you want what's best for him. You're happy that he gets to go. Sometimes I know that in this life, there's a tendency sometimes I want, like, I need you, you know, instead of like, hey, if that's where you, you know, if that's where you need to go and that's what's best for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, we should be thinking that way about people we love, about we should really want what's best for them, not just so self-centered on what I need or what's going to be best for me. Or so I just like the fact that Jesus, I think Jesus is a great example. We know he's a role model. We know he's an example. But I like it not only as an example, but he also teaches. He's teaching them how to lead others. And guys, this is an important thing. I'll be with you in a second, Levi. So in the body of Christ, this is true too. We should lead by example, but we still have to teach. I figured this out as a parent. You can be a great example as a parent. Serving your kids. Guess what? Your kids grow up. This is really cool. Mom and dad serve us all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't teach them to do the same thing, you can have been a great example. But then you have a bunch of really self-centered kids. Mom and dad have laid down their life for them, and that's all they got out of it was, wow, I must be really important. So Jesus had done all of this for them, but then he's teaching them, like, to shift their thinking. Like, they're supposed to be able to do this for others. Does that make sense? So, Mr. Schaefer, you had something.
I think a lot of the world's problems and our own problems can be solved by thinking about others first and thinking of how to serve others. You know, Mr. Simpson always says, you know, if you've got problems, go to a Bible study, and you know, the reality of that is it's how do I help somebody else? How do I serve this other person that gets the focus off of you?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it might be, alcoholism or drug addiction, those things are all about yourself.
Yep.
So you can be somebody else and find ways to serve other people.
But it kind of puts your own, yeah, puts things in the right perspective for sure. So, Levi?
That's what I was
going to
say.
Okay. Nice. please don't swear, but I got your point. All right.
I don't know why I said I do just now.
So, and then, you know, this is kind of interesting, and then I want to hit. Well, I want to spend a little bit of time on Frank's point here at the end. But Jesus does say, I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I don't want to dwell on this too much tonight, but Jesus has just told these guys, look, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now what? This is the thing that makes it so complicated. But guys, when Jesus was on earth, he left his place as God. Philippians chapter 2 explains that. So while he is here, while he was here on earth, he was showing himself to be basically as an example for us guys, what it means for a human being spirit to be in subjection to the spirit of the Heavenly Father. So Jesus had to carry this flesh around just like we do. Jesus had to make this thing do things it didn't want to do, just like we do. The end of this chapter is going to actually be that. Verse 31, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, even so I do. So when Jesus is saying the Father is greater than I, Jesus is saying while Jesus was here, he had to go through the same thing. He subject that humble thing you were talking about, Jared. Jesus did that perfectly. He carried that out in his life. So the things that he asks us to do, guys, he first has done. All right, now let's get to this point of Frank's. That was a really good point. Now I've told you before it comes to pass that when it comes to pass, you may believe. Guys, if somebody were to ask us, why do you believe this book?
That's Mr. Schaefer.
It's you don't get to do that anyways, even though I do defer questions sometimes to Mr. Schaefer and Mr. Simpson. But you know, it's not just because, well, I have a piece that passes comprehension. If we're living this, we do have a peace that passes comprehension. But that's not why we believe. The reason we have a peace that passes comprehension is because we believe. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's an overflow of our faith. That's not why we believe. A lot of people are trying to wait for that emotional high, and they're going to believe when the emotional high kicks in, and then your belief is up and down and all around. No, our The peace that we have because we trust in God, because we believe. Why do we believe?
Internal and external evidence and perfect belief of those prophecy throughout.
If we were to boil it down, because God has told us things before it happened, that when they happened, that when they came to pass, we could believe Him. And this whole book, guys, is recorded in a manner that is, it's designed perfectly for us to be able to test that out. So, Jesus told these guys that, and they were going to see it in real life experiences. Like, they're going to be, like, crushed when Jesus is crucified. And we know they all flee. Like, it is not what they're anticipating, not what they're expecting. But then later, He did tell us that was going to happen, didn't He?
Bunch of times.
So, you know, the details of our life, guys, we don't know the details of our life, how they're going to play out. Like, Trina, going into this, like, there's a good possibility for a positive outcome. But there's no guarantee of that by any means. But that part of it, like, the Bible doesn't tell us how that's going to play out. I think, honestly, other than Trina's family, she's still a pretty big influence on some of the grandkids and stuff, but other than that, like, hey, ready to go home. But that, you know, that part of it, those things, we don't know how that stuff's going to play out. And there's no guarantee of any of that. What we know is the things that matter for eternity. And God has definitively proven those things to us so we can stay the course, no matter the circumstances. Jesus told these guys some specifics before it happened. Reference to specifically His death, His resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit, etc. Guys, we get all of that plus some. It's been laid in there so we can believe. So, you know, the reality of it is, somebody might ask you why you believe. Well, I just say because I usually try to make it really simple. Well, like the whole DNA process and information systems, like there's no way that came about by accident. Like there was a designer. And I say a nice... The same designer's fingerprints are on this book. The same signature is there. It's been foretold, so I believe. But maybe the better question is, when stuff's been told before it comes to pass, and then it came to pass, why don't you believe? Because we got plenty of reason to believe. So guys, this week, let's be doers of the word. Let's cast our anxiety upon the Lord. Take things to Him in prayer. Humble ourselves. Be honest with God about and trust Him and His peace. Let's see. Mr. D, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we have this great gospel that's in front of us, this incredible good news that we've all been so privileged to hear, and that we have the opportunity to share with others. Many people have said that the road to success is to find a need and fill it. We know that applies in business, and we know that applies in the spreading of the gospel, because the great need is that everybody can come to the understanding of the truth of it. And all we need to do to be successful is to satisfy that need that other people have by being that purveyor of truth to them. Help us to be able to stand out from the world and to shine like beacons in the darkness, that they might recognize through our love for one another the love that we could have for them. Help us to always be looking at every person with a view towards what must be ailing them. I mean, if we are wronged or we get cut off or we have an attitude about people, help us to understand the
It's our responsibility to reach out to them, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be graceful, to be caring, to be concerned, and to be interested. We know that Jesus is all those things for us, and demonstrated it through all the great things that he suffered and the teachings that he gave us. Help us to be great purveyors of this gospel that we've been blessed to receive, and help us to be thankful for all the teachers that we have among us. Help us always to realize at the same time how many false teachers there are out there. Help us to be able to refute those teachings. Help us to be able to have the courage to approach the people that we love and the people that we don't know and everybody in between, and to be able to shake their hand and give the children something that they need to know, because they're not going to know about Jesus' love until they can see it in us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, thanks for your input, guys.